Hello and welcome to What's Brewing, CISFA? What's Brewing, CISFA is a podcast produced for the California Community Colleges Student Financial Aid Administrators Association. I'm your host, Dennis Schrader. I serve as the 2020-2021 CISFA president.
And I'm Dana Yarbrough, Dennis's fellow employee at Los Angeles Mission College.
What's Brewing, CISFA hopes to inform and entertain you 30 minutes at a time.
So let's start the show. And welcome to another episode of What's Brewing, CISFA? Let's start the show with our first cup.
And what are you pouring this morning there, Dana?
Oh, man. I know I promised to be back on my game, but it's boring old water once again.
I hear. I heard you've had a little bit of the, you know, morning coughs like me. You know, that happens.
Yeah. So, you know, just to keep my throat lubricated. Mm-hmm. It's just water this morning.
Same here for me, too. I do a little water, and then I've done my best to run my local Ralph's out of the little Mio water flavorers. Mm-hmm. You know, I like certain ones of theirs, and it's interesting during these trying times that we're in.
Yes.
That, you know, I moved first to having grocery delivery. From Ralph's. I did that the first couple weeks back in March, you know, because couldn't really go into the store.
Right.
But, you know, that's like $10. And I'm like,
it is expensive.
It is. And so at some point I was thinking, well, I wonder what the pickup costs. And they were going to free pickup. So I was like, okay, I'll do that. It's the Ralph's I go to, not that I'm plugging them, is just over the hill from me in the Studio City area of Los Angeles.
The big one, yeah, the big fancy one.
Yeah, it's really nice. Uh-huh. It really is. And so, you know, you go downstairs, you park, they load it up. But it was interesting how, you know, on a week-to-week basis, I'd order some of these little water enhancers, and always the flavors I want were out. So I always ended up with the strawberry kiwi and fruit punch, where I wanted like black cherry and stuff like that. So, yeah, it's been a little interesting going to that store. As I refer to it with a friend, I called it Ralph's Roulette.
Because you just don't know.
Exactly. In fact, I would order like bread and deli meat, and I'd get the deli meat and no bread.
No bread.
Or vice versa. And I found that in particular it was roast beef. Getting sliced roast beef was kind of like looking for gold in the Bering Sea. So what I started doing, and this is the roulette part, I would start ordering like the Ralph's brand of sliced roast beef, and then like the higher end one, you know, the expensive one, a pound a piece. And so some weeks I got one or the other. Once in a while I got neither still. And then once in a while, like last week, I got them both.
Got you.
So, you know,
it's getting better. We're getting better.
They are. And most things are back on the shelf, but it's still occasionally one of those things. But we're going to get back into our coffee swing here soon enough, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, because there is, I've been seeing a lot of advertisements for Starbucks has a nitro brew.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So I think maybe, so what mom and I do is, we order from Walmart. They offer next delivery.
Okay.
So I think maybe on the next Walmart order, I might add the nitro brew.
Okay.
Try that out.
Now this is a cold brew?
Yeah. So it's a cold brew. It comes in a can.
Okay.
I don't know how many, like what the amount is per pack, but yeah, but it looks good. So I'm going to try it out.
I think I've heard of it, and I've got some friends that are getting into this, you know, especially with the hot summer. They still their coffee, but they do like their cold brews.
Yeah, because, boss, we've been having some scorchers out here.
That is true, and we know it is the same thing across the state, and unfortunately for some of our brethren at some of the colleges, and maybe this will be a topic for a future show, is maybe to talk to some of them about how it's affecting their colleges. Especially because not just the hot weather, We're also talking about fires across the state too.
Oh yes, yeah, because we do have a few going on right now. Mm-hmm. So yeah, absolutely, I totally agree.
Yeah, so we'll save that for future topics. In fact, yeah. I know we've got at least three or four past or incoming presidents of CISFA who are up in that northern part that have had schools affected in prior fires. And we may want to talk to them a little bit about what kind of planning and preparation they've done. Because they presented, I think it was when we did the CISFA conference down in San Diego a year ago. They talked about how you plan for these kind of things when a fire affects your community or your campus.
Yeah.
So we'll definitely have that. But, I mean, think about where we are now. Just, you know, we got, okay, so we've got that going on. And then, of course, we're here at the end of our summer terms across the nation. And, you know, fall semester is already starting up at a number of schools.
For us, it's next week.
Yeah, next week. We're doing our fall kickoff event today, later.
Yes, we are.
And we had one yesterday. And yes, yeah, ours is starting up. And so, you know, we can talk about enrollment maybe another day when we get some better numbers. But yeah, it is one of those things that, you know, we're in that big switchover mode for people. Mm-hmm. I know this is a thing for some of my friends who thought they were sending their kids away. And now they're back at the house.
Oh, yeah. Goodness.
And it's interesting. Okay. The two people that feel the most affected are friends of mine who literally have just one kid. So I'm like, how small is your house, you know? You know, they have one kid. They have both daughters, and both of them had daughters going to USC. And they live in the San Gabriel Valley area. So, you know, wouldn't have been a long commute anyways. But they both lived on campus, but now they're back at home.
Oh boy. So, oh boy.
Poor fathers.
So let me ask Dennis. So are they going to be attending remotely, or did they decide to take the break, or will they be going to community college? What they decide?
Because they're both very driven students and these are very good parents, they've decided that they'll go remotely.
Awesome.
And
okay.
Stay at home instead of paying for living on campus, or, you know, they've got like these pseudo on campus things over there, you know. So they're going to be staying at home, but going remotely.
Yes. And I don't know if you heard. We have a coworker, everybody. Her name is Shushin Solakian. Mm-hmm. So her daughter was accepted to UC Davis. Mm-hmm. And I believe she was also going to try and live up there, but they just found out it wasn't feasible, and so now she's just going to be attending remotely, and they live in the Glendale area.
Oh yeah, so, yeah. That's going to happen, I think, across the way. I think that's the real probable how things are just going to have to end up being.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And so I talked to them, to both Shushin, and her daughter's name is Gabriella. Mm-hmm. Miss Shushin, she also has a son, his name's Daniel. So he's at Berkeley. So he's actually living out there. He hasn't come back home. But anyway, so, you know, I keep up with them and talk to them sometimes over the weekend or throughout the week. And, you know, Gabby, she was, you know, extremely excited, you know, to be going. And I think just recently, I want to say this week, she decided, you know, no, maybe it's best that I stay home. So it's kind of sad because, you know, they're so excited, they're ready to go, and they've made these preparations, and then, you know, finally they realize that, you know what, maybe it's not the best time.
Yeah, I think that's happening for a lot of people. I think we've talked about it either on air or otherwise, that, you know, I have friends whose kids say we're going to be going to schools across California and out of state, and then it became a case of, well, you know, do they feel comfortable sending their kid? Do they want their kid to work remotely, considering the cost of private school, that they weren't getting a discount, and not all of them were able to offer a discount because it still costs money to hold classes. What do they do? So a lot of them are going to be doing, like you said, they're going to be, you know, staying at home and at least going remote for this first semester or two to get into the swing of things, which, you know, I guess there's a lot of pros and cons either way when you think about it.
Yeah. You know, I guess you have to, I think you have to do the pro and the con list and then, you know, go from there and then weigh it out. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, one of the other things I wanted to talk about, you know, And you probably have had some experience with this, and I have too, both this round and years ago when they were doing this, year-round Pell. You know, I think about our summer processing, how, you know, we always have this thing where we're trying to process students for summer, and our enrollment was good for summer, and probably across the state, not too bad. But this year-round Pell thing, you know, where students can get more than just the normal two full-time semesters of Pell Grant in a year, it seems to be the most manual thing I've ever heard about and ever done in financial aid, and I think it continues to be that way, doesn't it?
Yeah, yeah. So do you mean, boss, like the actual processing?
Exactly, for us.
Yes,
yeah.
Yes, it is for us. Absolutely, definitely.
And I think our colleagues across the state are about the same, because I even hear people who don't use our particular computer system. Mm-hmm. I won't say what one it is. But even when they use other ones, and there's only about three or four major systems out there, no one's really quite figured out how to make it work perfectly, ever.
Well, yeah.
And we get the money to the students, but it's so interesting sometimes how it just, you know, never quite comes out that, you know, you can get your computer to figure out. Because with year-round Pell, for those who haven't heard of it or knew of it, that means that no longer are we ever saying that Pell Grant for summer is a trailer. It's the last term in a academic year. And thus, if you went fall and spring, you're out of money if you went full-time fall and spring. Now summer can be the header or the trailer according to what's in the best interest of the student. So it means that your computer system, you know, for those students who are continuing at least, and they had a FAFSA from last year and they have a FAFSA for the coming year, you can kind of play around to see which is in the best interest of the student. You know, do we use the 2019-20 FAFSA or do we use the 2020-21 FAFSA? So, yeah, it's, I guess, one of those things that our computers not are, you know, this is a good sign we're not going to be taken over by the computers. That our computers are not that smart and able to figure this out, right?
I was thinking the same thing when you're breaking it down. yeah, you still need the human touch.
Yes.
You know?
Exactly. it becomes a manual thing, but then you get to really know your summer students and you get to really kind of help them out. Because summer is an interesting time, you know. It's a time for students, especially what year-round Pell's whole idea was, which is help students accelerate their learning. Because in the old days, yeah, if you went full-time into fall and spring, or if you're a quarter school, all two of you out there in the community college world of California, up there in the north, and we're not going to point them out right now, but if you were a quarter school, that meant three quarters of full-time. Usually by the time you got to summer, you were out of Pell Grant. And that does affect you because, you know, how are you going to buy your books and supplies and stuff? You may not be taking a full load, but you want to get through. So year-round Pell was supposed to do, you know, some equalization of that to help students, you know, just kind of continue through fall, winter, spring, fall, winter, spring, summer, fall, winter, spring, summer, and try to get out a little earlier.
Yeah, and like you're saying, Dennis, and I know we're probably going to talk a little bit more about it later on in the show, is, you know, students, they need the resources.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. We're going to talk a little bit about that, you know, not too far away here, but you're right. It's without those resources, you know, how do you expect the student to be successful? And that's what year-round Pell was about. It's how we, you know, hopefully process, when we do process student loans, we try to help students spread that money over as long as possible of term. You know, even the state, even with Cal Grants, it's one of these topics that comes up every year. How do we make Pell Grant possibly adjust to a more Pell Grant related process? You know, do we get to someday having year-round Cal Grant? Who knows?
You know, I like this idea. I like this idea very much.
I do too. But now, Dana, we are about in the show point here. We're about here in the middle. So let's go ahead and take a short musical interlude before we head into our second cup segment. We'll be right back.
welcome to our second cup segment on the What's Brewing Cease for Show.
Pour yourself another cup of hot water or something for you.
Oh, man. Right? I feel so bad. Like, the show is called What's Brewing Cease for, and I'm not drinking coffee.
That's okay. You know, at least it was what we created the show upon. But let's not create it upon a lie. Let's give the people what they really want to have. Even if we can't say brand names, because again, CISFA is a nonprofit organization. We can't be taking money from coffee places and such. Not that we are.
Absolutely.
But you can buy whatever you want, you know. Any company you want, you know, whether it's a those coffee beans from Hawaii that are impossible to find, or they're coffee beans from another world, whatever. Drink whatever you want. We'll talk about it on future episodes, right?
It's your world. It's your world.
Yeah. Well, yes, let's talk a little bit about what's some news or some other things out there, Dana. Anything first off for you, maybe?
Yeah, I got a podcast I'd like to plug.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. It's NASFA's... Off the Cuff podcast. Mm-hmm. It comes out weekly, usually on Thursdays. It's very informative and topical. Justin Drager, NASFA's president, hosts with NASFA staff members that, you know, join in with him.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Looks way back, I would say a year or so ago, our current CASFA president, Anna Faye Robinson, was on the podcast when she was in Washington, D.C.
I think I remember that because I think that's when I started listening to the podcast. I mean, I listened to other podcasts, but I added Off the Cuff to my set. And again, it's only about 30 or 40 minutes a week. And yes, I remember I think what it was Anna Faye was out in Washington, D.C. for the NASFA Leadership Conference that they did every spring. You know, it was mainly aimed at people who worked in the state associations like CASFA, like Washington State Association, Hawaii, etc. CISFA is kind of like a sub part of that. So we were always able to have CISFA members join the CASFA members. But the idea was that NASFA would offer training on, in a sense, learning about like the legislative process, how to better advocate for our students and financial aid on the Hill, you know, with members of Congress and their staff members. And so, yes, Anna Faye was out there, and I believe I remember listening to that podcast. You know, her and a number of others were interviewed during that time about things going on in financial aid. So, you know, first, great. It's a great podcast, not too long. But our goal, of course, is to overtake them.
That is... our overlord plan. Yes,
that
it is.
Correct. Yes. Our goal is to make What's Brewing CISFA the most popular financial aid podcast ever.
Yes. So you guys make sure you download and hit that like button.
That's right. We're aiming for you, Joe Rogan. We're coming for you. Millions of downloads. And then people would be like, what is CISFA? What's Brewing CISFA? Wow, who knows?
CISFA? Man.
I know.
Man, oh, man.
Well, I had some other news that I found, too. There was a recent article at InsideHigherEd.com, and it was titled, A Tough Year at Community Colleges. Mm. And it looks at how, you know, this could have been probably a banner year for a lot of community colleges, you know, and we'll talk a little bit more on this in a second. But this could, what they're saying is that it could become a year of double-digit percentage drops in enrollment for a lot of schools.
Yeah.
You know, in particular, you know, we're talking about how students were planning to maybe go to private and even some public four-year universities were expected to stay back, not go, you know, not, you know, again, not move to campus and all, and potentially go to their local community colleges. That would have been the plus. But this article talks about, you know, instead, where we see now is the real divide in access to technology for what is our more traditional community college students and our continuers, you know, where, you know, computers and internet access are really key. And this might be, again, this is leaving, you know, students on the sideline for the year that would have come to us because they're not always certain if they have the ability to get to the technology they need.
So,
very interesting article. It's at insidehighered.com. We'll include a link in the show notes. The other one, and, you know, this will probably be our last news topic potentially for today, but I was checking out the Tikas website recently at tikas.org, where I found a recent posting of what they call What College Costs for Low-Income Californians in 2020.
Hey, Dennis, what exactly is Tikas? I don't think I've heard of them.
Oh, well, Tikas, T-I-C-A-S, is the Institute for College Access and Success. They're out here in California. They don't do just California projects, but it is something and an organization that CISFA has worked with in the past on some projects. And they had some interesting papers like Red Tape, Green Lights. And it was about how our financial aid processes sometimes create unexpected barriers to students applying and receiving aid, and a number of other things. This new one is basically what they do is in and beyond this project is this new brief, and we'll have a link in the show, everyone. Don't worry, in the show notes, compares the net prices among the UC, Cal State, and community colleges at 9 metropolitan areas throughout California. And did you know, Dana, that when I looked at that map, in nearly almost all 9 areas they compared, like San Francisco, Sacramento, the Central Valley, LA, OC, San Diego, and all that, of those 9 areas, community colleges, in a sense, have the highest average net price for students.
Wow.
Because, wow. You know, and, okay. And what they're doing is they're comparing again. For financial aid people and those who don't know, you know, financial aid can cover more than just your tuition and fees. So we come up with an estimated cost for a student that includes tuition and fees, books and supplies, room and board, even for students who live at home, transportation costs, which may be lower for the coming year at least, and other personal expenses. So the cost of attending a school can be quite a bit higher than just straight out tuition. You know, a higher percentage of that cost on a percentage basis at a private school is tuition, but at a community college, a lot of those costs are those living costs that help a student just go to school. And makes so yeah. this little brief here, you know, makes the point that, you know, between our UC and our Cal State University brethren, they have more institutional type funding available, the Blue and Gold Fund, the State University Grant. So when you factor that in, community colleges end up being more expensive on the whole than the other two segments.
And again, so it's because of the cost of living.
Exactly, the cost of living. Uh-huh. And so it's something that, you know, it's something that our state system office and our Chancellor Oakley works on a regular basis at the state level when we talk about funding for financial aid to try to make sure that we're considering the fact that don't think of community colleges as just the least expensive and the easiest thing, easiest type of school to get into. There's these other costs that do affect the student's ability to stay with their program, let alone maybe possibly enroll. So it's just one of those things. So, you know, we'll probably talk a little bit more on that, and maybe we can even get someone from Tikas to come in here. You know, and do a
expand
little
expand on it.
Exactly. Yeah. You know, because I've talked to a number of their researchers. They've got great information and such. We'll probably try to get them in, and maybe we can even do some visual graphics with them.
That would be awesome. Yeah.
All right. Well, Dana, we're just at that point of the show where we want to save a little bit of time for our last sip segment. And Dana, here we are. We're here at our last sip segment for the show.
Man, that sure does sound good.
It does. I don't know. I'll tell you, for whatever sound effect that is, I don't know what the heck they're drinking, but that is a good last sip.
That's an excellent last sip.
Mm-hmm.
Excellent.
So I thought we'd talk a little bit about, you know, for the coming weeks here, now that we're into a regular swing of things, we've got our recording time set. We've cleared our agendas. We've got time in the schedule about who we may want to bring on to the show.
Thundercat.
Thundercat. Okay. Wow. Wow. I may have to work hard there. I don't know if I know anyone.
I'm just kidding.
No, I completely understand. For those who haven't listened to the last couple of shows, we do a little thing normally on Fridays called I Dare You To, like, I Dare You To Listen To This, like a new music, some new music, a new artist, a new album, a new podcast, or I've done a couple I Dare You To Read segments where I put out some book ideas. Usually about personal and professional development and things like that. But Thundercat has come up a few times here with Dana as one of her favorite musicians. So,
yes, he is. He's definitely. He's up there. He is up there.
So do you think he has enough that he can talk about financial aid with us?
I'm pretty sure. You know, we can give him some talking points. Okay. Absolutely.
Okay. Yes. Because obviously, yes. You know, this show is for our CISFA members and our CISFA related people. Hopefully some other strangers have found us. You know, did I tell you last week on air or off air that I was looking at the statistics for our show? And again, it's a slow grow. But, you know, it has a little map of where our show is being downloaded. And lo and behold, 99% of the downloads from the United States of America, probably California. But there was a download from Ireland.
Ireland.
What? I know. So I don't know if our show CISFA or What's Brewing CISFA, someone thought that we were brewing some kind of Irish coffee, Irish tea. I don't know. I don't know what's going on there.
All right, then. Yeah, you know what? Worldwide. I love it. Podcast That's going right. worldwide. Yes. I'm all for it.
I would love to have someone from Ireland get on our show and Let's tell go. Us what financial aid is like over there.
Let's do it. Oh, actually, that would be really interesting, I think.
Yeah, because I have no idea. I mean, every country is so different.
They're different, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Because again, the way they fund their schools and all. So, okay, so we have Thundercat. We have Irish financial aid professionals or someone at their universities.
Yes.
Who else might we? I know we want to bring on some CISFA people, but.
Oh, absolutely.
Who else do you think that we should bring on and try to get for interviews?
You know, I think definitely individuals that can speak to professional development.
Mm-hmm.
You know, maybe something along those lines.
Okay.
Like maybe like a, you know, leadership, learning about leadership skills.
I like that.
Yeah. Maybe we can get somebody on here to talk about that.
That's good. Yeah, because I know, you know, one of my goals this year, regardless of what happened in the spring and continues to happen to us, was to try to expand upon personal and professional development. You know, I really wanted to make that kind of a key part to our conference in the spring. And again, regardless of how we go with the spring conference, in person, hybrid, virtual, and keep tuned in, everybody. We're getting closer to decisions on this. I do want to make sure we have that aspect for our membership. Again, whether you're brand new to financial aid, you've been around for a while, maybe not involved with CISFA, but you want to get involved, or you just want to better yourself in your own life and work and on campus and what you do, we want to make sure that we have stuff that helps build the skills in you.
I like that. And that's a good plug.
Yeah.
I like that.
So definitely something we're going to look at going forward. But Dana, I think we've hit that point again. We're just about out of time for today. But again, there's always our next episode. So I want to thank our co-host Dana for joining us today on What's Brewing CISFA. And thank you, our audience, for tuning in.
And remember, everybody, to check out the CISFA website at CISFA.org. That's CCCSFAAA.org. You will find our Twitter. I don't know why I can't say Twitter.
That's okay.
You'll find our Twitter handle on our homepage, so please follow us on Twitter.
And for this and all future WBC, that's What's Brewing CISFA podcast, find our feed through Google Podcasts at podcast, that's podcasts with an S at the end, .google.com, and search for CISFA. For those using Apple devices, search for CISFA on the Apple Podcasts app. And you can always find our episodes at wbccsfa.podbean.com. That's wbccsfaaa.podbean.com. And that's the words pod and bean as one word.
What's Brewing CSFA is a production of Studio 1051, a creative collaboration of Dennis and myself.
And this has been episode number 14, recorded the morning of Tuesday, August 25th, 2020. Have a great day.
And have a great week.